We have four members of the board of the senior citizens here tonight that are to make sure that I don't include senior citizens in anything. If I do, they're going to nail me. So you have a list of the items that we want to talk about, and some of them might sound personal or whatever, and some of them are kind of hard to digest. First off, we want to talk about a particular employee. The history of this employee was, in 2011, this person was the mayor of Copan. She signed an ordinance into law that had never been voted on by the council. That makes it a felony. We didn't find this out until 2015, when it pertained to setting mobile homes. That's been resolved. We've got new ordinance on that. In 2013, on the election in April of 2013, 68% of the voters told this lady didn't want her in City Hall. In 2013 and 2014, she worked for the town for one full year. No record whatsoever of employment. I don't know what she got. She's been involved in foreclosures and bankruptcies. She can't be bonded. I talked with OMAG, which is the Oklahoma Municipal Assurance Group, that sets the bonds for the town, that writes the bonds for the town. Am I right, Devin? They told me she can't be bonded. I said, well, she's probably covered under the blanket bond, which for the employees of town is $5,000. This person, on the last day of the month, on the last billing day of the month, will receive as much as $36,000 in her hand. On July the 23rd, this gal was hired by the council part-time as contract labor at $12 an hour. On September the 3rd, 2019, she was put on as a regular public works employee, still part-time, gets a $4.50 an hour salary increase. And I would challenge anybody in here to tell me that they ever got a $4.50 salary increase at any given time on a job. She was appointed cash manager of Copan. For several months, now this goes back to July, Wendy Wickham had a stroke and was off until sometime in October. All this period of time, this person is getting the money, counting the money, depositing the money for the town of Copan without any oversight whatsoever. History tells us in small communities that we're at a very high risk of a catastrophic financial happening.
I need to make some corrections to your info that you have.
I can't hear you.
I need to make some corrections to your info that you have. She does not deposit the money. I know for a fact on that.
She counted the monies.
So does Wendy.
She took the monies, she counted the monies, and deposited the monies at one time for several weeks. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, I said for several months. That was from July to October, On October the 15th, 2019, this lady got an upgrade in benefits. She's already getting full benefits, but now they're going to pay her Medicare A premium. Anybody that's on Medicare knows that your premiums are paid if you paid into the system over the years. I want to stop right now and introduce a couple of people, guys. I'm sorry I didn't do this. This is Tracy Lovelace. She is the town code enforcement officer and animal control. She asked if she could come here tonight to just see what's going on. She is not to be asked questions or anything, but if anybody says anything pertaining to animal control or anything on the town, she'll take notes and go back and try to correct them in City Hall. So please don't ask her questions. This guy is Garrett Giles from 100 radio stations. I can't tell you how many of them are in Bartlesville, but he's Garrett Giles, he's a radio reporter. And I appreciate you guys being here.
That's right.
Along with
this gal was upgraded to pay her Medicare A premiums, and I've checked the minutes, and this lady right here will tell you she checked the minutes. It was done without a motion or a vote. Am I right? That's illegal. January the 7th, 2020, this woman was promoted to full-time, retroactive to October the 15th. What really gets me, guys, no application was ever submitted by this gal previously or currently. No advertising for the job openings. And in our handbook or policy handbook says you got to do that. She lives in the county, votes in town elections. That's what I got covered there. Anybody got any questions? Anybody thinking I'm wrong on anything?
Do city employees have to live in the town?
Do what, ma'am?
Do city employees have to live in the town?
No. Votes.
I still didn't hear you.
13 miles, is it?
Yes.
I couldn't remember.
Do city employees have to live in the town?
I said that was a hard word.
That's Medicare.
I appreciate your rebroadcasting, Glenn. I'm going to tell you guys, I'm hard hearing. I was in the Navy for 11 years with Morse code pounding in my ears, and I can't hear very well. I got hearing aids from the VA. I can put them in and walk outside, and they fall out. So I don't know where they are. And so if you got a question for me, just speak up, or I'll come over and ask you to repeat it two or three times. Then you'll have Glenn to ask me.
Because he can't hear you.
And I appreciate it, guys.
Devin, 13 miles. Glenn, 13 miles.
The council a few years ago passed a resolution or an ordinance that's saying that you had to live within 13 or 15 miles of the town. And right now, currently, we have 5 employees. One of them lived in town, but he moved out, and not one of them live in town. But they're good employees. I'm not going to low rate any of our employees. They're great employees.
Elected ones. They're elected.
The elected
is that
people.
Right? To be elected.
To be elected, you got to live in your ward.
Yeah, right.
You got to be there. You got to meet the qualifications of the Oklahoma Election Board. Mm-hmm. And I think it's two months in your ward. It might be more than that. I don't know.
But that's 6 months.
Okay. The next thing we're going to talk about is the water plant. The conditions at the water plant are deplorable. We had an engineer doing a study on the water plant. We had a $400,000 grant to upgrade the water plant. The engineer comes to the town council and says, you got a consent order on the sewer. Let's change that $400,000 over to the sewer. So they did that. Our water plant right now, we have 2 water filters, supposed to have, but there's a barrier between them. That barrier has rotted out, so we only, in essence, have 1 water filter. Every week, you got to backwash the filters. Am I right, Mike? Every week, you backwash?
Yes, when I was there, we did.
Right now, you're supposed to put 700 pounds of water through this backwash. A filter is made up, it's about an 8 feet by 8 feet filter, about 4 feet of what we call media, rock, gravel, sand, and things like that, to filter the water. Down at the bottom, we have little filters in it, 48 filters in each filter system. We bought the media to redo it. Jeff Jones told me one time, he said, the last time we did this media was 1998 and it's supposed to do it every 10 years. A couple of years ago, we bought the media, paid $15,000 for it. It's sitting out at the water plant now. We go into these filters. We open the bottom of the filter up, the clear water basin to the filter. The barrier between the two filters has rotted out. So in essence, you only got 1 filter. When he backwashes the 700 pounds here, 300 pounds of it goes over here. So you're not brushing your filters. We have DEQ inspected the water plant this past July, and there's a lot of notes in here about the filtration system not working, about the barrier being broken between them. We decided not to work on these filters because if we get down on that platform where these little filters are screwed in, there's 48 of them in there, and that thing falls in, you're out of water. Because if one of them goes down right now, it's going to go over into the other one and contaminate your water. You're not going to have water. And the same way with our two clarifiers. All around the base of them is a lot of rust. In those clarifiers, we have an auger in each one of them that works the distance of that clarifier, which is probably the length of three of these tables and about the width of two of them. And an auger goes all the way through there through a trough that augers and keeps the mud stirred up down there. What these guys do when the dirty water comes in, it goes in these clarifiers, they put flocculant and stuff in there to settle down, and this auger somehow or another keeps the stuff working. I don't know how that works, but right now the other end of the auger, the bracket, is broken loose, and this auger's in there like that, and I think they've got them both shut down, so the clarifiers aren't working right. We have three intakes from the lake, three areas out where our pump is at the lake for water to come in at different levels. As summertime comes around, you have a situation out where you've heard of the water, the lake turning over. That water down on the bottom of that lake, where the bottom of that lake is septic, just like your sewer system. When that water gets hot, it comes to the top. Now, and we've got three layers of pump intakes out there. The two of them right now are not working. Only one of them is working according to this DEQ inspection. If you get a log or something jammed in there against that intake, you don't have any water. Right now, they're working on getting a forgivable $1.5 million loan from DEQ. They have offered this to Copan if Copan will furnish water to Bowring, because Bowring was without fresh water. The town, the council, has agreed to do that. When this first came before the council, and out of this $1.5 million, we're going to get $300,000 out of that to upgrade our filters, our two filters, and extend the building at the water plant. We had four council members at the meeting that night. Two of them voted against it. So we rescheduled the meeting. DEQ and the engineer came and explained things to them. The motion was passed that night with one council member voting against it. But this $1.5 million is to provide water to Bowring. We're going to go through Rural 7 water route out to the corner up where the Highway 10 turns to go west on the other side of the lake. We're going to tie in there and go to Bowring, over to Hula Lake probably. We're going to tie into Bowring's water line just this side of Hula Lake, I think. The bids were supposed to have been let on that in April of last year. The engineer made the comment a month ago that they're going to start production on that line, or going to start construction on that line early 2020. They haven't let bids yet. That's going to take 60 days to get the bids, to get the pre-meetings and everything like that set up before they can get construction started. Our water plant may not last through the night. It can go down at any given time. The only way Copan can get water, if that happens, we have a 2-inch water line coming in up on road 980. Up on 980, there's a 2-inch water line coming in from Rule 7. They had a major leak on that just recently, so I don't even know if they got that open now or not. But that's the only way Copan will be able to get water at any second.
Correction, I think that might be Rule 5.
Pardon?
That might be Rule 5 they're talking about.
Rule 5, you're right, I'm sorry. It's Rule 5, Rule 7 down the west side.
That's good. Because mine might
Okay, anybody got any questions on the water plant?
I have some info. Information for everyone. We are currently going through a company. There's two guys that came in and looked at, we're going to probably build a whole new water plant. That is what we're shooting for. I don't know, remember what the company name is, because I don't really get involved, but I've just been there and overhear things. So this is what I'm overhearing. There's seven guys that came in, two separate days. One guy, he went out with Jeff and looked at the water plant. He went over every single thing. He wrote every single thing down that needed to be replaced. And this company, they're going to be like a project manager. So what it is, those are going to be a project manager besides going with whoever it was.
Can everybody hear her? Well, I can put it on my phone.
No, you're not.
That'll shut her up.
Probably would. But anyway, so we had those two guys come out. One was more over water, and another guy came out, and he was more over the sewer pipes. Well, that's another thing we're looking at, is trying to upgrade that along with the water plant at the same time, so we can do it all at once instead of doing separate. So that is where we're going. We just sent in some form for information for them on all the gallons that we produce each day and everything. So they can get in that information and get that stuff where they can get us better grants and better stuff that we can, the town can be able to do that.
There has been two surveys out the water plan, and I'm really not aware of what she was saying too much, but the latest one was $1.534 million for upgrading the water plant, and another one was something where in the neighborhood, replacing the water plant for something like $6 million to make it so you can give water to Dewey, to Caney, and to Bowering. That's the plan the council voted on to accept. But then the sewer problem came about. Everything went to the sewer. That'll be talked about in a minute. In August of 2016, the town increased the water rates, water and sewer rates, based on a 5,000 gallon usage. The water rates went up 45%. Sewer rates went up 102% for a combined of 62.5% rate increase. This was done by a lady that came from Miami through Grand Gateway. Told the council, I can't support my figures, but I'm telling you, you need to go with the highest plan I gave you. That she gave them three different plans. She came the first time, she talked to them. Then, I forgot, you guys are on the consent order with sewer. So she goes back, she comes back a second time. One of these times, when proved that she can't support her figures, one of them in this list she got was a $14,000 item. I don't remember what that was, but I can dig it up sometime. The next time she comes back, that same item was $129,000, but she can't support anything. She told them that the former town treasurer did not keep figures on the water plants, so she had no base. And I told her, I said, I beg your pardon, lady, figures in that box right down there by your feet. I just looked at them. She slapped the lawyer on the shoulder and said, well, you know how those figures lie, don't you, John? The council voted to take the highest plan she had. This was done by an ordinance.
She also said that she grabbed figures out of the air and used the same.
Well, she got them someplace.
Yeah, that's what she told us.
This was done by an ordinance passed in Public Works. An ordinance is a law. Public Works can't pass laws. They have to be done by the town. So that thing was, it's been done. This new council that came on, and Ed Browning was one of them, promised the people in their campaign that they're going to adjust these rates, which was right. They should have, there's nothing wrong with that. When they get to talking about it at the council meeting, we get this letter from Oklahoma Water Resources Board saying, if you reduce these rates, you will have to pay back these grants that you got. At that time, we'd gotten $200,000 worth of grants on the sewer. You're going to have to pay those grants back, and you probably won't get any more grants. So they were tied. They couldn't do anything. And as I said, DEQ inspected the water plant. There's a lot of discrepancies in here telling the people they have 30 days to correct them. This was received on November the 9th. And as I understand, they've corrected one. That was the turbidity meter. They may have done more, but the last time I talked to them, that was the one they were working on.
That's a year ago November, right?
That's what?
A year ago last November?
No, this past November.
Okay.
So this inspection was done this past July. Okay, the next one is, anybody got any questions on the water? I'm not a water plant operator. I can't help you much, but we have a former water plant operator over here that can. If you got any questions... he's trying to hide. Okay, on the sewer project. In 1977, Congress passed the Clean Water Act. It says you cannot deposit any waste within 5 miles of a recreational area on a waterway. 1977. 1979, the Corps of Engineers built the Copan Sewer Lagoon system designed to overflow into Washington Cove. Now, this was the government. Immediately, they get on the Copan. You've got to do something with your sewer lagoon system. You've got to do something with your lagoon system. We contracted an engineer. They put an aeration system in there, just spray it up in the air so it'd evaporate. That didn't work very well. Then later on, they went to an aeration thing where they're pumping water from lagoons to a 60-acre tract up north of the lagoon system. And that's not working very well. When they first started that, the water was running off into the ditch down into Washington Cove. So they got in trouble on that. They put berms around 60 acres. We get into big trouble now because you're holding this solution up here, and it's against these EPA regulations to hold this solution anywhere. So that is a lose-lose situation with our sewer lagoon system. The only way we're going to correct that is the flow into the lagoons. March of 2014, DEQ issued a consent order to Copan on the lagoon system. They got a $100,000 grant to upgrade the lagoon system, and I think what they did, I wasn't involved with it then, but I think what they did, they went in and put new riprap in, maybe a new plastic sheet or something, put the riprap on. Your lagoon system, Mike, if I'm correct, should be somewhere around 12 feet deep. So you got different layers of the way the bacteria works in these lagoons. Ours is about 5 feet deep. You got the top and the bottom. So we're hurting there. When they put that lagoon system on top of a waste land, right? The city dump. I can remember, I wasn't up here then, but I used to drive by there when I was a kid. I'd go by there. They had cars back then, I think.
Yeah, we did.
Anyway, our sewer system is in trouble. We get in 2017 thereabout, we get a $100,000 grant to upgrade our manholes because the engineer decided we could get a lot of influx into our sewer system when it rains. The only way you can get that immediately is through your manholes. They came up here and redid our manholes. The people that did it told me, said, your manholes are in good shape. We only had one that was really bad, and that was down on Eden Street, and they dug it out and put a new manhole in. So our problem wasn't the manholes, but we got the manholes straightened out. Then we got this $400,000 grant that was reverted from the water plant to put in sewer lines. OMAG, Oklahoma Municipal Assurance Group, sent a group up here and did 1,800 feet of sewer line video for us. Then we bought a camera to finish up the lines that we needed to. The people we bought the camera from was Key Equipment in Tulsa. They come up to teach the guys how to use this camera. Don't work. We send it, we call them, they come up and get the camera. They take it to Kansas City to be worked on. I get an email from them. We'll get your camera worked on as soon as we can get an employee to do it. We've hired one, but he's going to school now to do it. About 45 days later, we get this camera back with an email saying the problem with the camera was the battery wasn't fully charged. They had it for 45 days. The guys get the camera, go out on the job, it don't work. We call them, they come back and get it. And I told them then, I said, we want the camera done now, or we want a new camera, or the money we paid you for it so we can go get one. They keep it again for several weeks. All in total, it was over 5 months before we got the camera back that we could use. In the meantime, the engineer has drawn up plans to do 1,200 feet of sewer line in Copan without even we knowing what it was. But the 1,200 feet of what they did the camera work on from OMAG was included in that. So they come up, they install these sewer lines by and a method called pipe bursting. I don't know if any of you have ever seen that or not, but I got it on the board over here. So, what they do, this is a manhole, that's a manhole, about 365 feet between them. They dig a trench down here, about 20 feet long, down past this sewer line. Do the same thing on this end. Down here they have a high velocity pump that will pull. Over here they take this sewer line. If you guys saw it out here on Golden Street where there's well known together and everything. They decide how many feet they wanted, they weld that together, get on the back horn, drag it down here. Mm-hmm. Outstanding sewer line, guys. We got a good deal on the sewer line, on the pipe. They'll take this sewer line, run it down here, put a header on it, and they got rods, metal rods going at 4 feet long. They screw into each other, going through here. They screw onto this header. They pull this thing through this old line. And I was standing on the street up here on Chestnut Street when it went under me. Felt like an earthquake. It even cracked the asphalt on Chestnut Street when that thing went under. And this is called pipe bursting. And it worked real good. It looked good. You didn't have any dirt piled all over town in the alleyways and things like that. The only way you can inspect that job is by video. They got through on March the 12th. We got the videotapes about the middle of April. I put them, our computers at Copan wouldn't work. They wouldn't work in those computers, so I took my computer from my garage down there and was looking at them. The engineer came up in April, talked to me and Jeff Jones. We was talking about the water line going to Bowring. I said, how about this sewer line they put in? What's the tolerance on the bellies in this line? He said, zero. I said, oh man, we're in trouble. So I go back then. I'd spent 3 or 4 hours looking at these lines. I go back and start studying them real close. Immediately, I'm terminated. My services aren't needed any longer. Not one other person from the town of any category spent 1 minute investigating or inspecting those lines. And I've got some stuff on this computer that if anybody wants to look at it, I can show you. Some people did a while ago. This line going south from City Hall on down to the next manhole, 20 feet in that manhole down there, is completely full. The camera can't climb out of the solution in the line. And I've got on the computer here the line before they did the work had a couple inches flow in it. Now it's completely full. The same on this end down here for about 30 feet. On this end, it's completely full. This manhole right down here at the corner has a stream of water coming in it from groundwater. When the camera went through that, and Jerry witnessed this, the camera goes right through that leak without any hesitation whatsoever. Another manhole up here by Wirtz, manhole number 40 on Golden Street. The camera and video is in this line. It shows a bubble of water coming up, a big bubble of water coming up, groundwater coming up through a seal. The camera passed right through that like it just wasn't there. The instructions in the contract says that there should be no more than 1/4 inch of flow in that line when you video it with this camera. You're doing this to check for any leaks, anything abnormal. 3,180 feet, they've got a 2,500 pound jetter right in front of it, 3 feet in front of this camera, with the spray coming out, pulling that camera through the line. You can't find a leak, and I can show you if anybody really wants to look at it. It will show a line, this line right up here on Weldon Street that starts on the corner here and goes over to Keiko's. It will show when that jetter shut down that flow went from about this much in the line to over half full. It went completely above the camera when that jetter shut down, because that jetter was pulling all that solution through that line. When they videoed any line that was like this with that jetter's going to pull all that solution out. That camera will not pick that up. They goofed. They videoed a few of them without the jetter. And sure enough, there they are. They had a public meeting scheduled for November the 5th. In this posting for the public meeting, said, if you got comments, put them in writing to the clerk. I did. She contacted a lawyer. He called me. He said, what's the problem? And I told him the problem I had. I said, John, there's at least 158 discrepancies that would cause that line to be right. He said, well, we can't have that meeting tonight. He said, I'm going to cancel that meeting. So he canceled a public hearing meeting, November the 5th. He tells me, he said, we need to get together with the council and you show them these problems you got. I said, okay, I'll have to take my computer down there because their computer won't, these discs won't work in that computer or the thumb drives. Had the wrong media program sent on or something. I'm not a computer guy. So, and he said, we got to do this before the next meeting, which was November the 19th. He said, because we're going to have the guy from Green Gateway, that's the guy that's in charge of our grants. He's the guy that everything is negotiated through, and he's the main dude that we talk to. He can stop a grant if he wants it. So he told me, he said, we got to have this meeting before he gets here because we don't want him seeing all this. But if he were seen it all, we'd been in big trouble. And we're going to have this sometime in the next 2 weeks. The Public meeting is rescheduled for November the 19th at 5 o'clock. The council meeting starts at 6 o'clock. I got a call at a quarter after 4, asked me if I'm in town. I said, yes, you need to get down to City Hall because they're having that meeting on the sewer project. I said, they can't be. Well, they are. So I go down there. I'm irate by this time. I'm mad. And the lawyer tells me, he said, Pete, I told you it's going to be at 4 o'clock. I said, no, no. You told me it's going to be sometime before this guy gets here so I can show these people what it looks like on the computer. And Wendy Wickham said, well, John, you didn't tell me. Ed Beers wasn't there. Jeff Jones wasn't there. They didn't get word. The only three people that got the word was the lawyer, the mayor, and the engineer. So when we started this meeting, I told him, I said, I am not going to sit by and allow you guys to accept this sewer project as it is without somebody knowing about it. And the engineer then told him, said, you can have up to a 50% belly in that. And I said, no, wait a minute, buddy. I said, last April, you sat right here and told me zero. So anyway, one of the council members asked Jeff if you had any problem with this line. He said, no, we haven't. I said, well, everything's okay then. And I kind of got on his case. And he accused me of calling him an idiot or something like that. It's bad, guys. The guy from Grand Gateway shows up, tells them about all the grant, how everything's going, and what they need to do and everything. The meeting starts. They agree to pay the contractor off without any requirements to come up here and work on that line, redo any of it. This total amount on the sewer project, $778,879.49. The only way that we can tell that this thing is working is when it rains, go after the sewer lagoons. They're running over. We did not accomplish anything from that. They, going back a couple of years, the town bought a flow meter to put in the sewer lagoons out there in the pump tank so they can measure the amount of water, the amount of waste going into the lagoons. And this is important because you can do it on a dry day when it hadn't rained in a month. We put in about 40,000 gallons a day of our city into the lagoons. On a rainy day, we'll put 250,000 gallons in there. That pump, that meter out there they installed for 10,000 gallons measures the flow in this probably a 10 by 10 bunker, and it might be bigger than that, but it measures the flow of this bunker, telling you how much is, they measure the flow, not the gallons or anything. All right, on a good dry day, you're putting 40,000 gallons in there. In 20 minutes, that thing will pump down. We put 5,000 gallons in there, let's say in that 20 minutes. On a rainy day, it'll take it 2 hours to pump that down. We still put 5,000 gallons in there. So the guys that did the meter came up and talked to me and Jeff Jones a year ago, said, this is what we'll do for you guys. We'll install a new meter in the line, cost you $5,500. We'll make this meter work that's on there now. We'll fix that so it'll wake you up at home if something's not working right. And the reason this thing didn't work in the beginning, and other than the flow coming in, the engineer at that time, I can't remember his name, Henderson or something like that, he told this company that had this meter of this bunker size. Well, the flow coming in, all the flow coming in from the town, don't go into that pump tank. It goes into a pond out here, and that pond flows in the bottom of this bunker. When you're pumping a foot down in that bunker, you're pumping a foot down in this pond out here. This engineer didn't tell them that. They didn't know that. when they sold the meter to them. So we still don't have a meter out there. And in order for this thing to wake you up at home, it costs you $582 a year. I can drive out there and wake the guy up for $50. Anybody got any questions on the sewer? Okay, on our gas system, working real well. We have a guy, they've hired a guy for an employee of the town that had a lot of experience on gas line maintenance. He is now the person that we go to for gas line problems. He's going to school on it. The Cooperation Commission, he's their guy. We have a gas leak going across Highway 75 down south. We have two lines going across Highway 75. One of them's down south about where the old Eden Street hooked into Johnson Street. That line is leaking somewhere under the highway. There's a company called PRC that comes up and does a gas leak survey for us. They found that leak out there every time they do. We have dug all over the place and can't find it. We only have two customers out there. For us to go under the highway with a 2-inch line, you're going to have to bore under there from this property line to the one on the other side of the highway. I haven't measured it, but I'll bet it's in excess of 700 feet. It's going to cost you well over $100,000 to bore under the highway to get that line just over there. We have two customers. They have written these guys letters to tell them that we're going to cut them off May the 1st. And then they're going to flush this line or purge the line. I would like to see it done after they blow air through it for a couple of days, fill it up with water and leave it filled up with water. Because these empty gas lines are dangerous. There's one coming up across the street from my house, under a couple of houses that out in the field between Johnson Street and the highway exploded one time. A little big hole in the ground. This is a 3-inch gas line going up there. It's vacated, but if you tap into that sucker with something, you may go into orbit. But that's about the only thing I have on the gas situation. We're in pretty good shape other than that. When they first put the gas line in 1979, they blew it big time. They put the Orangeburg polypropylene lines in. You got a house right here. They put the tap on the line over here and bend this line over to your gas meter. Almost every one of those taps was leaking when they did a leak survey. And in 1985, I got a call from the Cooperation Commission, said we're going to shut your gas system down. We've been trying to get a gas leak survey, and we can't do it. And I said, what am I supposed to do? He told me to contact the person in Houston. They came up and did the survey, and almost every tap. You can tell if there's a gas leak in the area, guys. In the summertime, you're going to have a big brown spot on the grass. So if you're ever walking across your yard and you see a big brown spot, you got a gas leak under there somewhere. You got a gas line you probably don't know anything about. Any questions on the gas line?
Is an employee that works for the city now that maintains the gas lines? Is that what you
said? Yes, all of our employees maintain it, but this guy is designated the gas person for the town of Copan. His name is Jacob Lovelace. Happens to be this gal's husband, so I'm not going to say anything about him. He's a pretty big boy, and I'm not going to say too much bad about him. Even if I thought bad about him, I'm not going to say it. Next, we're going to talk about any questions on the gas. We're going to talk about our previous police department. This was a bummer from the word go. In the spring of 2018, they advertised for police chief. We got an application from a guy. The lawyer did a background check on him, said, you hire this guy, you hire scandal. So he was rejected. In September, a few months later, they hired this guy to be a police chief. He tells the council, I have three reserve officers that will patrol the town free of charge. This guy is a disabled veteran. He can only get $9,800 a year or something like that. So we're in good shape as far as money-wise on the police department. He's got three reserve officers going to patrol the town. They get their applications and they approve these reserve officers. Ironically, all four of the people came from Nowata County Sheriff's Department. And I don't need to tell anybody that's read the paper in the last 5 years about the Nowata County Sheriff's Department. So anyway, we get these guys, they're patrolling the town, writing tickets everywhere. We have one case where I reviewed a ticket, wrote a ticket for running a stop sign down on Highway 75. That's out of city limits. They stopped a Baptist minister up north of the city limits in Copan for running a stop sign. Anyway, on October the 3rd of 2018, the police chief comes to the council at the regular meeting. He comes to the council and says, I have a grant from DEQ for $50,000 for the police department. I would like for you guys to put these guys on salary. They did. We had a budget set for $65,000 for the police department. They've already spent about $22,000 on trinkets, lights for the car, radios, flashlights, vests. If you guys saw one of these guys walking around town, you'd think he was walking the streets of Iraq somewhere. I mean, they were decked out. And I don't blame them. If I was going to be a cop, I'd want a steel shield all over me. But anyway, they put these guys on salary. I don't have this grant, but DEQ has promised me it's been approved. A few days later, we get this grant. It wasn't for the police department. I made copies of this grant and gave it to all the council members to review. Only one council member agreed that it wasn't for the police department. It says it's for a person out of Copan, it can be the police department, to patrol the county for any illegal dump sites and get them cleaned up. That money can only be used by this person when they're out in the county. Can't be used for patrolling the streets of Copan. So they assigned this job to, they assigned this thing to one of these cops. A DEQ police officer comes to Copan, gets this guy, drives around the county searching for these sites. This police officer, this DEQ policeman is escorting around town, around the county. Is 19 years old. He's not old enough to carry a gun in the state of Oklahoma, but Copan's got him decked out with combat materials on, with a gun and badge. This guy's dad is newly elected county commissioner in Nowata. Apparently his dad calls him and says, hey buddy, they're after you. He resigns. He don't want anything to do with the police department anymore. So he's gone. A company out of California, I can't remember the name, Devin might, but it's Lexit or something like that.
Lexapro.
Okay. They write all the policies and procedures for the police departments in the state of Oklahoma. He called me one time, asked me how the police department was going, and I told him. He said, buddy, I'm taking my name off of everything pertaining to Copan. He said, you need to call CLEAT. The county sheriff, the undersheriff was in Copan one day talking to Devin and I about the town's going to get into a lot of liability with this police department. I called the mayor and said, I've talked to the county undersheriff. He wants us to come down. I made arrangements for us to come down and talk to him Monday morning at 9 o'clock. She said, good, we'll go down and talk to him. Monday morning at 8 o'clock, she calls me and said, I'm not going down and talk to anybody. They don't help us at all. A person goes into the sheriff's office to tell him his name, and I'll tell you what you're going to do for Copan. Sheriff's office said, I'll tell you what you're going to do. The sheriff did, so you're going to get out of here. Now, the council is telling me that the county won't cooperate with them in any manner whatsoever. And they did. They did not do a good job patrolling Copan. I agree with that. We had places this lady's house right here was vandalized, had two different cameras showing that, not showing the vandalism, but showing them going in and walking down the street with the material. The county wouldn't look at either one of those cameras. But they did get the guy. Didn't get his girlfriend because she was pregnant. She's still running free. But anyway, I talked to the undersheriff. He said, you need to call Cleet. I talked to the attorney. You need to call Cleet. So I called Cleet. The guy down at Oklahoma just said, I tell you, we're investigating Copan right now. He said, we've already talked to one of your guys. They talked to that 19-year-old kid. Apparently his dad called him and asked him to come up and talk to him. A guy called me and said, I'll be in Copan in an hour. He's coming from Oklahoma City. And so somebody had already called Cleet. The investigator came up. The police chief wasn't in town, but the captain, so-called captain, was. The mayor and the councilwoman was there. This detective or this investigator, Walter Birdsong is his name, told the mayor, he said, you and the police, first off, he asked Wendy Wickham for the payroll. And he looked at that and he told the mayor, he said, you and the police chief have falsified a document here. He was hired to start September the 11th. They had on this document, he started October the 1st. And he said, you guys, that's a felony. He didn't follow through with that. But anyway, he told them about all the problems at Copan. He said, I'll be back Monday. This was on a Friday, I think. He said, I'll be back Monday. I want statements from you, talking to the mayor and the policeman that was there, and your chief. I want statements from them on what's happening to the police department in Copan. Comes back Monday at noon, no statements. And he tells him, he said, my boss is going to be very unhappy when I get back and tell him I wasted 5 hours of driving time that he had to pay for and not getting anything for it. Then he said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going down to Dewey. I'm going to eat lunch. I'll be back at 1:30. I want those statements. He came back and he had a statement from the mayor maybe and the other policeman, but not the chief. The chief said, oh, I'll do these. I'll get it to you. He said, you do it right now. And he handed him a piece of paper and started writing. And when he was there on the 7th, when he left, the policeman that was there got up and said, Pete, I want to shake your hand. You just shut the police department down in Copan. I said, well, you're quite welcome, but that's kind of an asshole attitude. And Donna Stevens, the councilwoman, says, Pete, you're the only asshole here. Now, this is a councilwoman, and this guy has told them that these guys are nothing but thugs. Well, to prove that, one of the guys, when they put them on salary, one of the guys was assigned school resource officer, Cole Scott, 21 years old guy. He gets on Facebook. I'm not a fan of Facebook, but I'm going to tell you, for the last 2 months, I spent a lot of time on it, and it's good entertainment. He's a school resource officer. He's going up to the school. He told this one girl up there, 17, 18 years old, said, stay away from your boyfriend, we're going to arrest him. He tells this other gal that's sitting over here boo-hooing, crying, whatever. Walks over and says, what's the matter, miss? Said, are you pregnant or something? Goes in the classroom telling the teachers they're not conducting their class right. This guy's never finished high school. He's not qualified to be a police officer in the state of Oklahoma. Have I missed anything on that dude? On Facebook. He's a school resource officer. The mayor saw this, and he's still a school resource officer. I walk around like everything is okay, but deep down, I'm a sex addict. A 21-year-old guy walking around the school with 17, 18-year-old girls all over the place. Don't sound good. I don't want to offend anybody, But this one says, now this is off of Facebook that he put on. Spend fitties. I don't know what that means. Pet kitties. Do you know what it means? Okay. Spread fitties. Maybe lies. Is that what he's talking about?
No.
Well, I don't know. Guys, I told you I'm dumb as a rock. Pet kitties. Suck titties. Now, this is a guy, our police officer, putting this on Facebook.
He likes pet kitties.
It's going to be hard for some of you to see, but I'll pass this around. This is a woman, bound up, bare butt naked with her butt sticking straight up.
Need to pass that around.
Okay, just pass that down.
Now, you said you wanted to see this?
I said
it. Oh, we already saw.
Do you want to see it?
No.
Anybody want to see it?
No.
Okay. Glenn, you got me in trouble. I knew he was going to do it tonight.
He told you not to send it around.
Well, you told me a long time ago I ought to keep it quiet, but I just couldn't. I don't listen to you very much. I'm like Glenn. I don't listen to you very much. Anyway, on December the 7th, the mayor called the attorney when that guy was here. He told her to suspend police operations in Copan. He sent an email saying to refund all the monies on the fines. That wasn't done. We found that money in October, just a couple of months ago, back in the back room, and we don't really know who it goes to. We found a couple of people. Okay, on the billing procedures. Devin resigned in April. Donna Stevens took over overseeing the billing process. For the next 4 months, the town was shorted $17,000 a month on the electric charges. I caught this at the last month because by this time I'm the deputy clerk again because Wendy's still off. I told this gal, I said, lady, you need to be sure that PCA charges on the electric and the rate is on there. PCA charge wasn't on the electric. So I go back to City Hall. We don't have room to put it on there. I said, if you don't have room to put on there what you're charging me for, I don't have the wallet to pay the bill. Well, we don't have room. I want another bill. You're not going to get one. I said, then you're not going to get any money. We'll cut you off. So I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to pay you. You cut my utilities off, I challenge you to do that. Of course, the next day, the council meeting comes up. I bring this up to the council meeting, $17,000 shorted the last month. They vote to recoup that money over a four-month period, which my charge was $9 and something each month. When the next bill comes out, they have the whole amount on there. And I went back and told them, I said, you're supposed to do this on a four-month period. The council voted to do that. Well, the mayor told us to put it all on there at one time. The mayor don't have that authority. The mayor is nothing but an elected person for the town of Copan that doesn't have any more authority to do anything by themselves. I don't want to say by herself, but by themselves than any other individual in town. The town is governed by committee, not by individuals. And that's going to get me to another thing in a minute. Back in 16, I was town clerk at that time. There were some questions about the Corps of Engineers building. I got a copy of the bills for the Corps of Engineers and discovered that the town had undercharged the Corps of Engineers $5,600 on water and sewer from February 14 to May of 16. I go back and check it out, and what the problem was, this lady I told you that worked that full year in 2013, 2014 without any record of her employment. She set up the billing in the computer. She didn't put that in there right. So the clerks bill as it's in the computer. And out of the $70,000 last spring and summer, we recouped $17,000. This goes along with raising your water rates because we don't take care of problems. We had a water leak one time before I got involved with the town, down here on Chestnut Street. $3,000 water leak. That was enough water to run 18 and a half consecutive days, 24 hours a day, water plant. Because that water plant would produce an average of maybe 85,000 gallons a day. You sell 54,000 gallons. So you have a big gap there that there's no accountability of the water. I brought this up with Grand Gateway, and they said, boy, you're lucky. Said, we have some of these towns that got 90% unaccountability. I said, man, we can't have that. We can't live with 30%, and we're not going to. So, but anyway, I asked them, why wasn't this water cut off? They didn't want it cut off. The people didn't want it cut off. What was happening? They was having a water leak, an open line in the sewer. Water's going straight into the sewer. It took them a long time to find that leak. But once they determined that leak was happening, that water should have been cut off. Just recently, we had a 146,000 gallon water leak to a vacant house. Why is that water meter on to start with? And if you're reading that, if that water meter is on, you're reading it each month. That 46,000 gallon leak didn't happen overnight.
No, that meter is not on.
Huh?
That meter is not on. That meter was not on.
If that meter wasn't on, water cannot get through it.
I'm just saying, that's what I've heard. So
I'm telling you, that meter was on.
Okay.
And, yes?
Well, I'll tell you something. I had a pretty high water bill here a month or so ago, so I went up to City Hall. I said, did they read this right? She said, well, you got a leak. I said, well, I don't think so. I said, anything's possible.
Oh.
I said, when they read the meter, I went out and checked it, and I said, there was 3 or 4 inches of muddy water on top of it. How did he read that meter? So she calls him, and he goes back down, comes back up, and said, yeah, they knocked about $40 off my water bill. Well, it wasn't red.
That's, you know.
And then she had the nerve to tell me, well, they don't read the meter, they get the butt sheet. I said, bullshit, I'd sit right there in my window, in my dining room window, and watch them put the lid on, pull it off, write something down, put the lid back down, and drive up the street. I said, I go out there and check it. There's 3 or 4 inches of muddy water on top of it.
When water is over that meter on a normal day, something is wrong. On a rainy day, that can happen because I tell you,
you go down to my place, 425 South Canyon, and open that up, and 90% of the days it's full of water.
But we've had a wet season. We've had a really wet season.
Yeah, I don't care if he has to suck it out with a straw. He ought to read it. That's his dog.
When I was reading meters, I come across one. I carried a little bucket with me. I dumped the water out and read the meter.
They have suction things.
And then you can look at that meter and see if that sucker has a leak or anything on it, because there's a little red dial on there, a drip. That dial will move. So, and if that dial's moving, and now if it's sitting there singing a song to you, you go knock on that door and see if anybody's home. A lot of people, both people in the family's working these days. We had a case down here the other side of the post office one time. A guy read the water meter, was really singing a song. He looks up and sees the water hose running. He didn't do a thing. The people were in the hospital. There was a bunch of leaks going there, $1,100 or something like that. And this was probably 3 years ago, and they just recently agreed to a plan with those people down there, a deal. They gave them something like 50% off or something like that. But that guy, when he's seen that meter reading like that, he should have knocked on that door. If it wasn't home, he should have turned it off. Now, here's the reason. You don't leave water running because you can make them pay that bill That's fine, but for every 1,000 gallons of water you make at the water plant, it costs you about $6. At the study I did 3 or 4 years ago, $6.80 to produce 1,000 gallons of water. You recoup about $6 and a dime. So you're losing 70 cents for every 1,000 gallons of water you produce out there. And if you're just putting it in the ground someplace, chances are you're losing that. My biggie, no oversight. In February 2015, the clerk, not this one, another one, and the mayor agreed to hook up full utility hookups to a garage in town. At that time, just at that same time, a guy was coming in wanting more power to his welding shop, and they told him it'd cost $4,900 for a pole and transformer to upgrade his electric. They agreed that he could do that for $2,500. They gave him that discount. They can do that to that individual if they want to. This guy that we're talking about was the husband of the mayor. That total hookup had to set a pole and transformer, and all the hookup fees amounted to $8,550. Didn't charge him a dime. By those two people conspiring to do that, constituted a felony. $25,000 fine, 10 years in jail. The lady died before anybody found out what happened, or before anything really took place on it, so that part went away. In June or something like that in that year, 2015, they reduced the hookup fees on utilities by about 50%. In October of that same year, the council agrees to give this guy the new hookup fee. The question was, how about the other residents that hooked up on here? No, only this person. That's sickening, guys. On the budget, the budget for this fiscal year, which started July the 1st, was supposed to have been submitted by law on June the 23rd, 2018. Hasn't been done yet. Wendy Wickham had the budget. For some reason, the lawyer told them, you can wait, you can do this on July the 15th. In the past, we were under a budget called Estimate of Needs Act. You only had to budget the general fund. All your departments weren't necessary. They did budget the fire department, but it wasn't necessary. You only budget your general fund. One of the council members, bless his heart, Carlton Richardson, was always complaining about the budget. We don't have anything budgeted for any of these people. So we changed the budget to the Municipal Budget Act 2 years ago. Last year was the first year of it. This might have been the first year of it. But anyway, it tells you this budget must be approved by the council on June the 23rd, or within 7 days, at least 7 days prior to the start of the year. You start working on this in February and going up, and you tell the council about it different times. They take different actions. This was never done. On June the 23rd, the council meeting, nobody mentioned a budget whatsoever. They haven't got a budget yet for this year. As I was going to say, Wendy had that budget ready to give to the council. She had a major stroke. She's out for several months.
I think she got it done.
Anyway, Debbie Smith, the budgeting was put on Debbie Smith. Doesn't have a clue what a dime is about. So no budget yet. And keep that in mind. The audit, the last audit done for the town of Copan was June 2017. The guy from Green Gateway, the dude, Kerry Jester, the guy that's in charge, that takes charge of your grants. When you need a grant, it goes to him. He takes charge of everything. He's told the town, no more grants, because your budget and your audit has not been done. We wasted over three quarters of a million dollars on the sewer, mostly. All of it wasn't. The thing out the sewer plant couldn't be helped. Whatever they did, they're not going to help much. Those dikes need to be built up another 4 or 5 feet. I don't know if there's room out there to do it. Glenn told me, don't bring up a problem unless you have a solution for it. And quite frankly, a lot of these things I don't have a solution for, except the council. There's no oversight from the council on anything. Those guys, for years, and a good example, one time in July, they voted to put two doors on the fire station because replaced two doors with a single door because the doors weren't wide enough for the trucks to get in and out in a hurry. In July, they did that. December is on the agenda, and they made the motion to put a single door on these two doors. I said, guys, you did that in July. All you got to do is put the doors there. Wasn't done. Come the next July, a motion to put these doors, put a single door there. They approved that motion. And they did not make the motion then. We've got the thing, we're going to put the doors on there now. I said, you can't do that now. It's past the fiscal year. You cannot spend or allocate your monies for this year into next year. Whatever you allocate this year has got to be done by June 30. Now, you can get a situation for, you can have a lease agreement like they borrowed a fire truck. They can only do that for each year. At the end of each year, they got to renew that agreement with the bank for another year. Otherwise, the town's got this fire truck. Come June 30th, they don't have to pay that bank anything else. I'm not even sure that bank can come and repossess it now if they don't agree to a new extension on this thing. You can't spend a dollar after July the 1st that you allocated June the 10th. So anyway, I told them, I said, you guys got to make another motion. You got to have another agenda. Make a motion to put that door on there. So they did that. The door finally got put on a year after the first motion was made. History tells us and shows us that the council sits here and makes motions, pass these motions, and that's as far as they go. Nobody has been there to carry them out. For a year and a half, I was the town administrator. We carried out the motions that they made. We got the things done. They don't have that now. They have now a list of departments and what council member is in charge of each department. One on the town side and one on the public works side. And I'm telling you, Jerry is over the water in public works. It's against the law for Jerry to go tell an employee to go turn that valve off. She can't do that. She's got to go to the council and say, at the next meeting, we've got a valve open over here. As a committee, they tell the guy to go turn the valve off. It's against the law for her to do that. But you can't work this way. It don't work. Another good example, We have three manholes down around the creek. Back in April, just before I was terminated, I told the guys to go up and put lids on those manholes. Those manholes don't have lids on them. A guy in his four-wheeler goes out and takes these lids off, takes them down and scraps them out for a little marijuana money. Well, he went to jail one time, and he tells me he's clean of that stuff, but we still got manholes down there without lids on them. They didn't put the lids on them then. I told the guy that's in charge of the sewer 3 or 4 months ago that those lids are still off. So I went down and checked them, and they're still off. I'll get right on them and get those lids on there. Lids aren't on there yet. We've got manholes down here with lids this big, raining, trash, and everything. One of them, now these manholes are up this high. One of them was on the ground down there. We've got a lid put on that one. That one that's on the ground, they found a deer in it one time where this guy had taken the lid off and a deer fell off in that manhole. And that particular manhole, we, on this grant, big grant we got, we had those manholes up there put on it for the manhole repair put on it. DEQ sent, or Water Resources Board, one of the two, sent the guy that was the floodplain administrator a letter 3 different times. We want to know what the status is on those manholes. Do you have anything in the floodplains? What it was. He never answered them. When it came time for the grant to do the manholes, we couldn't touch those up there in the floodplain because they weren't included on the request. It wasn't cleared to do it in the floodplain. So those manholes still sitting up there uncovered, need a lot of work. You can go up there and look in them, you probably can't even see the stuff flowing through there. They're caked up over them. And this policy has never worked. It never will work simply because there's no authority to carry it out. The only person that can be charged with getting anything done in town, going to an employee and telling them, you got to do this, you got to do this, is the mayor. And that has to be done by an ordinance being passed by the council, giving him the authority to do that. He can't get paid for it, but he now has the authority to direct the working forces. Town hadn't done that. And right now it's a good thing. Have I missed anything? I think I got it. Has anybody got any questions? Gary, appreciate it.
Did you want to mention anything about Highway 75 might be shut down?
Yeah, I did. She reminded me on the gas line that we got going down here that they're going to shut down on May the 1st. We've not got another gas line up north that goes out and crosses Highway 10, right across Highway 10 out there, about 200 yards from the intersection. You'll see a big weed pile with a half dozen, traffic cones around that. Been there for a couple of years. We've had a gas leak out there all right along. I guess they didn't fill it back in because they wouldn't have to dig it out again because there's going to be another gas leak pretty shortly. One of these days, we're going to have to cut that line off. Okay. And that takes care about how many people out there, Devin? 5 or 6? The 3 or 4 people up that street? And
there was 12 that was all together with everybody in the county that was in the city.
Okay. So, is this bad? That's another. The people that brings the gas in did go under the line a while back under the railroad. They did their own boring and everything, and that guy told me that there's no way a community can afford to do this. Garrett, you have any questions?
No, I don't.
Appreciate you coming.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
So,
I guess just what's kind of your hope with this moving forward, if that makes sense.
Do what?
You've listed a whole bunch of things that the city needs to do. Just what's your hope moving forward?
Okay, the employee that we talked about, he asked me what my solutions were, like Glenn said, what's your solution? History tells us that people like this working in your city hall, is going to create a tremendous financial burden to you one time, at one time or another. A good example, 8 miles north of us, a gal working in City Hall, been there for years, close to 40 years. Over all of those years, she embezzled, I've been told, I don't know, I didn't read it, but I've been told, a little over $1 million. Now, we take in, the Copan's operating budget is equal to Dewey's, because we own all of our utilities. Dewey don't own any of theirs. Well, their water, no, not the water. Their
trash.
Their sewer probably is the only thing that they...
Trash.
And trash. Water and trash. We own our electric, our water, our gas, our sewer. We don't have to... All we do is buy the stuff from the providers and resell it to the customers. We can control everything. We get calls at City Hall. I said we get them. I was down there at one time, and Devin was down there. We get calls, says, you can't cut my electric off because of this reason or another. I said, who told you that? Well, my lawyer said that. I said, well, get your lawyer up there. Next time you don't pay your electric bill, we're going to cut your electric off, and you're going to be able to tell your lawyer he lied to you. Because you can do it. You own these utilities. You can do it. If the people don't pay their bills, that's how the rest of the town operates, is by you paying your electric bill or your utility bills. And we have some. We had a case one time where a gal went for 3 or 5 months without paying a dime on utilities because she worked for one of the people working in City Hall. She worked for her down at a grocery store or a convenience store. When Devin took over the utility billing, a few months, this gal's in compliance with her utilities. And I think you know who I'm talking about. And the town just don't do it. Like my solution to her, hit the door. You're going to cause the town a lot of problems. And my solution to the council, if you don't get an application from somebody, you're in big trouble because you get a lot of background on this person on this application. And anything on that application that's untrue, that's terminating cause. You can terminate them because they lied on the application. Of course, in Oklahoma, we call it an at-will state. You can just about tell somebody, I don't like the way you look today. Get out of here. That's kind of what they did to me. And I don't blame them. I don't like the way I look either, but there's nothing I can do about it. She'd like to do something about it, but bless her heart. The sewer, it's a lost cause. The only recoup you're going to have is for the town to sue this contractor, get them back up here, and out of that 6,000 feet they laid, they're going to probably have to dig up 7,000 or 8,000 and lay that line back by trenching it. Town's not going to do that. And the gas across the highway, all we got to do, we've got to cut that off. There's no thing. The police department.
In the morning.
The police department is gone now, and I'm glad to say that we have the county being paid by the town to come up and do some patrolling 20 hours a week. We hope that's going to help a lot. It's not going to take me long. And they wanted to tell the sheriff, we want that guy to come up here 2 hours this day, 6 hours this day. And the sheriff told them, said, that won't work. It's not going to take one of your guys 30 minutes to decide we're only going to be here 2 hours a day on here, and they can do what they want for 22 hours a day. He said, we need the right to come up here and patrol 20 hours a week when we think we need to. And I think that's the only way to do it. They're going to be up here tomorrow maybe for an hour, the next day for 3 hours. Don't know when they're going to be here, but that's the way it ought to be. And a biggie, they're not going to be up here harassing citizens for rolling through a stop sign. We had a cop that stopped a guy down by City Hall for running a stop sign. He'd sat out there for 20 or 30 minutes with this cop. This guy is coming to City Hall to tell us that there's major water running across his property. And he's outside with the cop. The cop's got him out there for 20 or 30 minutes talking to him. And finally, Devin realized he was out there, and she went out, told him to leave him alone. And he came in and told us about the water, and we went up there. Fortunately, it was the irrigation water that they're pumping on the city acres. They never shut the pumps off, and the water was overflowing down across his property. It was wastewater, but at least it wasn't city water. And at the same time, a day or two later, I'm looking out the window. I saw him run through a stop sign. He said, "Well, I might have been running on the case." I said, "No, you were coming to City Hall to pick up this reserve officer from Owosso, this lady, and you were going to take her around town. You ran that stop sign right down there." "Well, we can do that." "Well, no, you can't." Anyway, the police department's gone. The county is now patrolling the town 20 hours a week. The building process is what you need is a person to check. Two sets of eyes is a whole lot better. Two sets of eyes for 10 minutes is a whole lot better than one set of eyes for 10 hours. This lady can tell you, "I've searched all over the house for something. I can't find it. I'll go in and sit down." She'll come in and say, "What are you looking for?" I said, "I'm looking for this. It's sitting right here by your chair." I mean, it happens. And I do the same thing with her. It's not a one-way street up there. You know, two sets is better, no matter what it is. And when that clerk in there gets this reading from this, these guys go out and read the meters, they write it down, they come in. If there's an abnormal reading there, she needs to get that employee, "Hey, go out and check this thing, something wrong here." "Oh, well, it looks like they got a water leak, or I just wrote the wrong number down." She nailed me many times for writing the wrong number down. As we get older, we see numbers a little bit different, I guess. But the building is never going to get corrected until they have somebody overlooking it. And I'll be honest with you, there's nobody there to do it. The mayor that's supposed to be doing it is not capable of doing it. So I don't know what the answer is, but I went into town, went in City Hall today, got nailed. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to inform the people what's going on. This gal called me and told me she's coming to the meeting tonight to see what I'm going to be talking about. So she can go back to City Hall. If anybody goes down there and tells something that I said that I didn't say, she's there to straighten them out. And I appreciate her being here. I appreciate you coming, Garrett. And Jerry, I appreciate you being here on the council. You can verify or question anything I've said. Kathleen was the town clerk for 135 years?
Just the 30.
Oh, okay.
34.
Jerry was the treasurer for 18. And in 2017, she's gone. JM did a survey. The employees of Copan are not underpaid. In 2017, they were getting $10,000 a year more than the employees of NOWATA. The town manager of NOWATA was getting $100,000 a year. That's included in that average. So our people have been well paid.